Book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter number 5 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 5. Once you've found your spot there, I will read one verse in Hebrews chapter 10. Then I'll meet you in Hebrews chapter number 5. I will read verse 5 by myself out loud. And then you'll join me on verse number 6 and we'll read down through verse number 9. Hebrews chapter number 5. Meet you there in just a minute. At verse number 5, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse number 7, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Hebrews chapter 5 now, begin reading in verse number 5. "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto them that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." We'll finish on verse number 9 together. "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Let's pray. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, we thank you that you did not leave us here for our own devices, that you've clearly instructed in God's word how we should live our life. We'd ask that now you would bless this time as we stop for just the next few minutes and focus on the teaching, the truth that's been prepared for us this morning by the man of God. Fill him with your power now. May our minds be clear and focused as we listen. May his be clear as he speaks. Keep the distractions to a minimum. We'll ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to need your attention this morning. I think I will be loud and animated enough to keep it, but I'll be honest with you. I've been preaching for an awfully long time, 42 years. Shut up. You little twit. But seriously, the last several weeks, I don't prepare a message yesterday for today. I'm working weeks in advance. I have 17 sermons I'm working on right now, have a half a dozen sitting in a file ready to go. I'm constantly working on truth. It's kind of like you ladies, you go do the shopping and then you figure, you know, you kind of know what the plan is for the next week or two. And that's kind of how I do with the truths to give to you. And I had pulled these truths out this last week knowing I would preach them. Honestly, I thought I was going to preach this sermon tonight and tonight's sermon this morning, but as he has for the last couple weeks, I have on Sunday morning gotten here and the Lord said, change it. So I changed what order I preached him in. So if you don't like it, talk to him, not me. But I want to help you today. It may seem odd to some of you, maybe, but I think it very important, especially in these days. I want to talk to you about the greatest book that's ever been written. It's called the Bible. Amen. You say, well, preacher, isn't that what church is all about? Yeah, but I want to actually talk about the book itself. It was not written by man. It was written by God. Amen. Man simply penned the words that God gave him. Bible says that God is the author of the book. Right. By the way, the men who penned it were not the authors. Some would say, well, in the Gospel of John. Well, it wasn't John's gospel, it was God's. That's right. And there wasn't different gospels, by the way. There's only one gospel. Virgin birth, lived a sinless life, shed his blood for us, was buried and resurrected. That is the gospel. Doesn't matter who said it. Amen. Now, man has fiddled with and rewritten the Bible so much to make man feel better or feel more important. But man has no right to change God's words. Me, say that again. I don't care how many translations or versions or perversions are out there. Man doesn't have a right to rewrite God's words. We have laws about taking books and changing the words and then reselling them as though the author wrote them. Just because the author is God doesn't give you the right to change God's words. You see, evil men want to make money by using God's name for their money. That's all it is. The number one selling book in the entire world, throughout the history of the world, is the King James Bible. Plain and simple. Now, not just the Bible, the King James Bible. I am not going to go into a technical study to bore you to death. Yes, I can talk about ancient texts and I can get into the Greek language and the Hebrew language, and none of you know any of the Greeks except unless they have a restaurant down the road down here. And I could go on and on and on and on. I could talk about the Textus Receptus and the Latin Vulgate and the Codex Vaticanus and all the others. Say, what are those? That's exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter. I'm going to ask you to trust a man who has given over 42 years of study, work, and life into the fact that the King James Bible is the Word of God. Plain and simple. It is not my opinion. It is a proven fact. Anything else is merely an imposter and a perversion by man. It is a filthy forgery. It is not the Word of God. Now let me say this. The King James Bible is or are the words of God for the English speaking people. Now, let me ask you a question. I'll ask you the question God asks you. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse number 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Here's my question. Do you know the author? Do you know the author? Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 7, Brother Josh read to us. The Bible says, then said I, lo, watch this, I come in the volume of a book, it is written of me. Now I want you to notice something. Jesus said he comes in a volume of a book. And it says that he is the author of our eternal salvation. That means this, the Bible not only is the Word of God, it is God in Word. Amen. You see, you cannot, God's made it available to where you don't only just read His words, but He said, I'll let you get to know who the author is. Yeah, it's one thing to read somebody's book, it's another thing to know the author. My pastor of many years before he died over 21, 22 years ago. Be 22 years ago in February he passed away. He wrote 44 different books. I read all of his books when I was in college and I knew his books. But when I would spend time with him one-on-one, I got to know his books a whole lot better because I got to talk to the guy that wrote the books. Did you know that you can talk to the God who wrote this book? Not only that, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've received Him as Savior and you're saved, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God moves in, and the Holy Spirit of God with the Word of God, He will teach you His words. Amen. Not only do you get to know the author, but He'll put the author inside of you. You see, the Bible truly is the living Word of God. By the way, it is the only book that as you learn it, you have more to learn. I love history. I love reading history. But there's only so much history you can read and not keep reading the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And it's about something that did happen, not something that's going to happen. Well, these are the ever-living, eternal words of God, and they're just as applicable now as they were when they were penned. Now, let's see what God has to say about the Bible. First of all, I'm about to shout. The Word of God is forever. Amen. The Word of God is forever. Turn to Psalm 119. That's right smack dab in the middle of your Bible. Matter of fact, it is the middle chapter of your Bible. Psalm 119, look at verse number 89. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Hang on, folks. Psalm 119, verse number 89. The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." How long did he say it was settled in heaven? Okay, you all sounded like a bunch of dead folks at the cemetery here. This is not a funeral, this is church, amen? God said, how long is it settled? Now, there you go. Now you're back to being church. All right, here we go. God said, forever. That word forever means forever. Past, present, and future. You see, the Bible was written forever. Forever. May I share something with you? Go to John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Lick your finger and turn the pages or stick your finger in somebody's ear. I don't know, but John chapter 1. You better make sure you know them before you stick your wet finger in their ear. But John chapter 1, look at verse number 1. Now, I want you to notice the words themselves, not just what they say. In the beginning was the what?
Word.
Now, wait a minute. Is that a small W or capital?
Capital.
That means it's a proper noun, right?
Yes, sir.
It's about a very specific person, place, thing, or idea, according to English grammar. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now watch this. That word is about a specific thing, correct? Okay, look down to verse number 14. And the what?
Word.
Capital or small?
Capital.
So it's the same as John chapter 1, verse number 1, right? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That means this, look at me. The Bible is not only the Word of God, Jesus is the Word of God.
Amen.
Say, preacher, what's that mean? The Word of God is eternal as Jesus was. Was Jesus before the creation of earth? Yes or no?
Yes,
he was. So the words of God are as eternal as Jesus himself. When people start messing with the Bible, they're messing with Jesus. I'm here to shout. God tells us that the Word of God is eternal. Now, I'm going to have you turn in your Bible so that you can see what God says, not what I say. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. It's a little bit more of a Bible study than just preaching, but hang on, I'll cut loose here in a little bit. Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says this in verse number 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. What, pray tell me, is the law? It is the what? The Word of God, correct? Now, what's a jot? What's a tittle? Let me put it down to where us simple country folk can understand. A jot is a dot, like the dot of an I, and a tittle is like the crossing of a T. God said, heaven and earth shall pass. That word pass means this, die. We say when someone's died that they have passed away, correct? That's a very scriptural term. They've passed from this life to the next. They've stopped being here and have passed away. God said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor one tittle shall pass from the Word of God. May I say something? There has to be a perfect copy or copies or whatever of the Word of God, or God's a liar.
Praise the Lord.
Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because look at Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, verse number 31. Mark chapter 13, look at verse number 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Did you know that the Bible cannot be killed? They've tried to stamp it out, but it keeps on going. They've tried to change it, but it keeps on going. God said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. They are not going to die. They are as eternal as God is, because Jesus is the Word of God. Turn to Luke chapter 21. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 21. Look at verse number 33. Once again, God says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God didn't say my thoughts that were given to man. He said my words. God didn't say that he put the thoughts into man's heads and sinful man wrote what he thought God said. Why would God trust the eternal word of God to a sinful brain? He would not. Everybody doing okay? Mrs. Barnes is my secretary, and she's a very good lady. Often I'll write a letter or something, and I've told her for the last 10 years, look, when I write a letter, you type it as it is, don't fix it for me. You bring it back to me, I'll fix it. If you have a question about it, ask me, but don't just fix it. Those are my words, not your words. There's times she brings them to me, and I'm thinking, what in the world did I say there? And it's all right. But she did what I asked. She didn't just change them. Did you know we're not supposed to just change God's words because we didn't like what he said? We didn't like how he said it? Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm about to have fun here. Can I tell you something? The Bible cannot pass away. It cannot die. You say, why? Because it is the ever-living words of God. I like hearing us use the term the Word of God, but I personally like the term the words of God. Now, look at 1 John chapter 5. You were in Hebrews. It's to the right just a little bit. Go to the book of Revelation and turn back a couple pages and you're there. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse number 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. Notice that W. Is it small or capital? Just like John chapter 1 verses 1 and verse 14. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Wow. God says that the Word of God is in heaven. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. By the way, you say, well, where's Jesus in that? He is the Word of God. Now look at me. That means the Word of God was in heaven and is settled in heaven forever. Psalm 119:89. It's not going to die. It won't pass away. That means there's always been and always will be a copy for the Word of God by which man can live. Now, the King James Bible is the perfect transliteration of the Greek and Hebrew texts. Please listen to me. It's not a translation. It is not a version. A transliteration is different than a translation. A translation, the translator uses their own discretion on what words to use. A transliteration takes it, translates it literally, and just puts it in the right order grammatically from one language to the next. Make sense to everybody? Now, you say, well, what is that original text? It's something called the Textus Receptus. It doesn't mean it came from Texas. It means the received texts. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Some will say, well, the King James 1611 Bible isn't the King James 1611. It changed in 1617. That is a true statement in some ways. Uh-oh. Y'all doing okay? Can I tell you what happened in the English language, though, between 1610 and 1617? If you read anything written in the late 1500s, early 1600s in the English language, the alphabet changed traditionally in 1617. V used to be N in English. F used to be P, and some weird things. And they standardized the English language in 1617, and the authors of the 1611 went back and they made the spelling changes to match the current grammatical and spelling of the English language. They did not change the words. They did not change the meaning of any words. By the way, those of you that have a Schofield Reference Bible, when you were in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7, if you look at his notes, he said in modern text, verse 7 should not be inserted. Mr. Schofield was part of the revised version team and did not promote the King James Bible. He wanted to change it. Be careful of reading somebody else's notes about it. Am I doing all right? Say, preacher, you're talking about, yeah, I'm talking about C.I. Schofield. Now, so the only changes from 1611 to 1617 was the English language itself in the spelling of words. If you go back and read anything in the English before 1617, the spelling of words is different. Once it became standardized, they put it in the standardized spelling, but they did not change the words. Now, this is going to hair-lip a lot of folks, but I don't care. Can you tell? People will tell you, well, the Latin texts were older and more accurate. The Latin texts are the Roman texts. It's where the Roman Catholics get their Bible. I'm not here to criticize the Catholic Church at the moment. But let me say this. The Latin language did not come about being spoken in the Roman Empire till the middle 100s. The Bible was complete by about AD 50, AD 70-ish. How could Latin text, when Latin wasn't even spoken, be more accurate when the history of what took place is already done? The Roman Empire spoke Greek from taking over the Greek Empire. Everybody doing okay? Until the middle 100s. There's no way that the Latin Vulgate or the Codex Vaticanus could have more accurate translation of the Word of God than you can the Greek and the Hebrew from the Textus Receptus. Why? Because that language hadn't even come about for almost 100 years after the Bible was complete. Houston, they have problems. Now, again, I'm not being critical. I'm trying to help you understand. That's why they have books added to the Bible that aren't books of the Bible. Did you know that most of the modern translations, the RSV, the RV, the NASV, most of those come from the Latin Vulgate texts? There are some that have included some of those into the modern, and they use a combination of. What a mess that is. Let me just say this, and I'll move to the next point. God does not need man to rewrite his words and then put God's name on it. That's evil. You know, I have no right to reword what God said and rewrite it and say God said it. I fear that man, in an effort in being filled with pride to show how intelligent he is, has started saying things that God never said. Isn't it amazing that people know things about the Bible that God never said? Well, gold is a picture of judgment. Silver is a picture of this, and brass is a picture of this, and this number means this. Can I tell you something? Unless God said that, God didn't mean that. I know people that build a whole career of preaching on typology. Well, God said that the word is the seed. Well, then seed is a picture of the word of God. Agree with you on that. But past that, well, three is the number of God. Well, so could seven. It's the number of perfection. Well, eight is the number of new beginning. And they have all these numbers. Isn't it amazing? I've heard whole sermons preached on what a person's name means. Now, wait a minute. Did the person grow into what their name was and then they were named? No, it was picked before they were hatched, before they cut you off the vine. How could you say that that truth is about someone who had nothing to do with what their name was? Now, you do have a right to say something about Jacob being changed to Israel, but that's about it. Everybody doing all right? Amen, preacher. That's good preaching.
Good job.
You see, we want to show people how, impress people how smart we are. Gag. I'm smart enough not to change it, just preach it as it is. My preacher taught me a long time ago, just put the peanut butter on the bottom shelf where everybody can reach it. A lot of times I just unscrew the lid and just let it sit there unlidded, amen? Just dip your finger in and get what you can get. Just don't double dip, all right? Don't lick and dip, just dip once, amen? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We have made the Word of God. Well, it just depends which version, preacher. There's only one, and that's the King James Bible.
Amen.
This isn't the Bible of the month. This isn't Reader's Digest. It isn't the RSV, NASV, the New King James. It's not the Mickey Mouse version Bible, the MICKEY version. And it's not the HIV Bible for the sodomites.
Amen.
God said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Amen.
There has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or God's a liar.
That's right.
Turn to Luke chapter 4. You say, preacher, that's a bold statement. Not afraid to make it? Because here it is. Luke chapter 4, look at verse number 4. Now, would you not agree that Jesus was God? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, he was. So, if Jesus personally said it, it has that much more emphasis, correct?
Yes.
All right, look at Luke chapter 4. He's talking to the devil here. He was led up into the mountain to be tempted by the devil, and the devil is tempting him, and Jesus is about to answer the first temptation. Look at verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is what?
Written.
Look at me. Written. Sounds like a book, right? Okay. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That means this, there is no life apart from the Word of God. It is the Word of God that gives man life, correct? Well, preacher, the Old Testament's different than the New Testament. Let me ask you a question. Jesus was quoting the Old Testament. All Scripture. The only difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is this. Old Testament looked ahead to Calvary.
Yes, sir.
In the New Testament, we look back at Calvary.
That's right.
That's the only difference. It's all the Word of God.
Amen.
Did you know Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, is still applicable today? Did you know that all of the things of the Old Testament, there are some of those things Jesus came and fulfilled them, and they did away with the traditions. That's why he started the church and not the temple. That's why Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's why we don't need the Levitical priesthood. Colossians chapter 2. Those things were nailed to the cross, putting them away. Jesus came and fulfilled those and said, look, I am he that did it.
Amen.
Now, second of all, the Word of God gives us life. Luke chapter 4, verse number 4. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look at me. God spoke the word.
Amen.
I'm about to shout. We won't take time to turn to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, and God created everything but man by the spoken word. You go through Genesis chapter 1 and look how God said. Did you know when you said something, you used words? Everybody doing okay? You can't say it without having words. Unless you're my wife, and then just look. She's using words. She's just not using them out loud. I'm going to kill you. You see, that's why in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. By the way, that means creation. You know, it wasn't until the 1850s that anybody in the world ever thought that God did not create. It's only been the last 140, 150 years that man ever even thought something differently. And that was only because the communists needed a religion based on science to explain away God. Well, everything started millions and millions and millions and millions of years ago. Folks, those people that believe in the Big Bang Theory believe in dust. We just happen to believe God created the dust and God said. I've got more faith in God than I do dust.
Amen.
They can't tell you where it came from. By the way, they can't call it science either. Science has to be reproducible. Has to be observed and reproduced. You can neither observe nor reproduce evolution. And if you follow the laws of science, evolution doesn't even qualify as a science.
Nope.
Everybody doing all right? All right, now hang on here. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. I just let God say it, and you can get mad at him, not me. 1 John chapter 1. Now, everybody look at me. Remember in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. In verse 14, Word, capital W. And in 1 John 5, talked about the Word, capital W. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse number 1. That which was from the beginning. Now look at me. In the beginning, God. So who was that which was from the beginning? Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the what? Word of life. They were talking about Jesus. He was the Word of God and is the Word of life. Because man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Now, look at verse 2. For this life was manifested. What's manifested mean? Became real, put into a form that you could actually see or touch or experience. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That manifestation took place at Bethlehem's manger. It's called the birth of Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Holding forth the word of life. Folks, that book right there is what gives you life. People will stay home. They'll go to a football stadium, a baseball stadium, or a basketball coliseum. They will say, you don't need to go to church. You need to live your own life. No, you need to die your own death that way.
Amen.
It is the word of God that gives life, not sports.
Amen.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? By the way, it is by the word of God we get saved, not man's traditions.
Amen.
Not religion. This is why you cannot be saved by a church, by an experience, by a tradition that we keep or some ritual that you practice. You see, there can be only salvation by the word of God.
Amen.
Correct? Now watch this. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I know you're not used to using your Bible this much. Some of you are getting your yearly Bible in this morning. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Look at me. You can't have faith without the word of God. That means if you have a perverted word of God, you have a perverted faith.
Yes, sir.
Is that not what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is all about? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Right.
You see, faith and the word of God go together. Faith is not positive thinking.
Amen.
You got the healers, feelers, and squealers out there that'll say, well, if you just believe, then God can. Well, I could believe all I want that if I drop my keys, they're not going to fall. Doesn't matter what I believe, they're going to fall.
Amen.
It's not power of positive thinking. Faith, according to Hebrews, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence? The word of God.
Amen.
Romans chapter 12 said, God hath given to every, or verse 3, God hath given to man the measure of faith.
Amen.
God even has to give you the faith necessary to get saved.
Right.
And every human being has enough faith in them when they hear the truth of the word of God to put that faith in Jesus Christ and immediately have their sins taken away and be on their way to heaven.
Amen.
God has given to every man the measure of faith. Here's the thing. We want to play our own God. We want to get to heaven our own way. We want to trust our church, our tradition, our preacher, our priest, our pope, our beads, our candles, our whatever, and we want to trust our ways instead of what God said. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit cannot lead you to do something or anything outside of the word of God.
Amen.
These people say, well, I just feel led. Show me in the Bible. Well, I felt. I don't care what you feel. I've had feelings I shouldn't have before. I've had feelings I don't want to have again. Just because you had a feeling, the Holy Spirit and feelings don't go together.
Amen.
God can only work by his word with the Holy Spirit moving us. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 5:9 says that Jesus, we read it earlier, is the author of eternal salvation. And lo, he comes in the volume of a book, and that eternal salvation is the word of God, which gives us eternal life.
Amen.
Boy, that's good stuff. I gotta hurry. Number three. Then how did we get the Bible? God spoke his words and gave them to man word by word. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child, that was known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. There's those words again. Jesus, the word, and faith going together. Salvation comes by faith in Jesus, by the truth of the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now look at me. That word inspired. It doesn't mean tingling.
Amen.
It doesn't mean, well, I had this wonderful truth and wonderful thought that I wanted to put in, like Shakespeare was inspired to write. The word inspired in Greek literally means to breathe life into. When someone quits breathing, they're not going to live long. Correct? We give them something called CPR. The R means respiratory or respiration, re-inspiration. You have to blow air in to get them to start breathing on their own again. My daughter is due with our grandbaby here in just a few weeks. And when that baby's born, it will take its first breath outside the womb. It's going to inspire air. Let me ask you a question. Does the doctor have to keep pumping air into that baby for the rest of its life to live? No, we'd say something's wrong then, right? That first breath gives life that will sustain you for your life. By the way, I think it's criminal that over 200 of our congressional people said that if an aborted baby makes it to birth, that we ought to kill it after it's born. That's wicked as hell itself. Number one, it's wicked to kill it in the mother's womb. It's even worse. What gives, that means this, you could go to any NICU or PICU in the United States of America and start murdering those babies on machines. What's the difference? Just thought I'd throw that out there. Wasn't in my notes. Did you know you can't talk without breath? How many of you have ever fallen or hit your diaphragm and you lost your breath? You couldn't breathe. You all know what I'm talking about? You know, you're going, yeah, we've all been there. No air, no words. Remember the first time that ever happened to me, I fell out of a pine tree. Fell about 15 feet smack dab on my back because my brother, I was climbing up to our tree house and he didn't want me up there and he stomped on my fingers and I finally fell out. And I remember hitting the ground going, I thought it was going to die. I mean, bought the farm right there. Eventually it came back. Then the crying can start. But I couldn't even scream enough to cry. There was nothing. I've had it knocked out many a time since, but God does not have to keep breathing for the word of God to stay inspired. It has life and it breathes on its own. Don't let these scholars tell you, well, the Bible is preserved, but only it's only inspired in its originals. That's unscriptural. Do you know that when Jesus quoted the Old Testament in Luke chapter 4, verse number 4, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, when he was quoting the Old Testament, there was more time that has taken place from when Jesus quoted that to when it was given the first time than there has been since Jesus was here to our time. So if Jesus called it scripture, guess what? It's still scripture. If it's only inspired in the originals, it is now dead because there's no breath in it. The word of God is as inspired today as when it came from the lips of God to man. Look at Psalm 68. Right in the middle of your Bible again, Psalm 68, look at verse number 11. Psalm 68, verse number 11, the Bible says this, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it." That means it's a book that was recopied, correct? Did you know if your Bible uses the same words as my Bible, it's the same Bible?
Amen.
Shazam. I know that's hard to understand. But by the way, the Lord gave the word. Does that not remind you of a verse in the New Testament? John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Who was that? The Word of God. The Lord gave the Word, which is Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 16. Huh. Hebrews chapter 7. Turn there with me. We were in Hebrews 5 to start with. Hebrews chapter 7. Talk to some of you intelligent people for a while. There's only one of me. Some of you catch that one by slow freight. Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse number 22. "By so much more was Jesus made a surety of a better," what's that last word? Testament. Now, what's a testament? Look at me for a second. If you've gone through the death of a loved one, you've had the reading of the will. It's called their last will and testament. It is a legal documentation, correct? All right, turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 16. "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator." Your will does not go into effect when you're alive. The person has to die before your will go or your testament goes into effect, correct? Well, the New Testament did not go into effect fully until Jesus came and died. He fulfilled it. Look at verse 17. "For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept unto all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with the water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. Notice there was a book. Those are the laws, the words of God. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's why the blood of Jesus Christ is so important. Jesus died as our lamb, our perfect sacrifice, but he resurrected as our high priest, went into the temple or the tabernacle in heaven and put his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven and told the Father, it's finished. Amen. I've completed it all. It can't be taken away. And man's sin is cleansed, past, present, and future. I promised you that it was coming. I have fulfilled that, and now it's complete.
Amen.
By the way, that's why when somebody's wrong on the blood, they're wrong totally.
Amen.
When people say it's not the blood of Jesus, it's the death of Jesus that's important, they're wrong.
That's right.
Denominations are taking songs about the blood out of their songbooks. Matter of fact, they got rid of the songbooks, and they throw it up on a stupid screen, follow the bouncy ball. We're going to keep singing about what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, can I tell you something? It takes blood to give life.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I'm having fun. We won't take time to turn there because I've got to quit soon. But in Matthew chapter 4, verses number 4, verses number 6, verse number 7, verse number 10, Luke chapter 4, virtually those same numbers are very close to it. You have Jesus in the mount being tempted by the devil, and he says, it is written. It is written. Scripture says, it is written. Well, what was he quoting? The Old Testament. If you go through the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and other places in the Bible, you hear this statement, or you'll see this statement. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying. I've never had a book talk to me. Well, they have some of those for kids that do, but you know what I mean. The Bible says the word of the Lord came unto me saying. That means God was speaking those words. Oh, Moses was the lawgiver. No, Moses was the law receiver. Matter of fact, God said he took his own finger and wrote in the tables of stone with his own finger. Moses didn't write it, God did. Man didn't write it, God did. These are the ever-living words of God. I got to finish. Some of you will starve to death. It's noon. The King James Bible is the word of God for the English speaking people. It's eternal. It's perfect. It's inspired. It's preserved for the English speaking people. You can go to my office. I have Bibles from the 1800s, the 1900s, and the 1700s. And I even have one from the late 1600s in there. And you know that they all say the same thing. Shazam. It is eternal.
Amen.
Trust it. Love it. Read it. Come hear it taught and preached at church. Obey it. We need to let the one who created man and who gave us the words by which we should live to tell us what we should do. Don't you think he has a better idea what we need than we do?
Sure.
Let me read two other verses to you. Don't turn there. Revelation chapter 22. Very last chapter of the Bible, God gives us a warning. You say, why? Because he knew how sinful we are. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. Again, I did not go into a theological seminar of comparing all the different perversions of the Bible. Most of them change words, remove words, totally obliterate things. God didn't say, though, those that take words away or add words to. He said those that take away from the words. What can you take away from words? Their authority. So when we start casting doubt on that book right there, we are casting doubt on God, and people won't believe what that book says. Well, which Bible's right? That one. If man had to rewrite it to make it easier, and they're the ones that call me dumb. Well, it's got all those these and thous. Yeah, thee means you. Thou means you. Got it? No problem. It's not really not that hard. If somebody's ignorant as I can understand that book, I think everybody else can too.
Amen.
Shut up. You said that at the wrong time. Maybe we ought not live in such a way to where we take the credibility of the Word of God away as we say we're a Christian.
That's right. Amen.
Someone once wisely said, we are the only Bible which the lost world will read. So when we live contrary to that book, what light are we shedding on the Word of God to man? Maybe we ought to understand the authority of the Scripture and not do what we feel, but do what God said. I don't always feel like doing everything I must do. But I'm obligated to do what God said. And I've learned if I just obey it, it turns out better than how I felt anyway. My feelings don't much matter. When my daddy said, when I was a boy, take the trash out, I didn't say, well, I don't feel like it. He said, I can give you a feeling and you're going to take the trash out. You decide, do you want the feeling or not? I decided not. I didn't like the Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge. He gave me one choice. Do it with or without the whooping. Didn't matter how I felt about it. I just needed to obey. And when you get to the point where you'll obey that, doesn't matter how you feel about it. Quit trying to analyze it and play God. Just realize he said it. That settles it.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if I believe it or not. God said it. That settles it. And if we just obey the Word of God, we have in our hands a copy of the very words of God himself. Maybe we ought to read it. Man can't live by bread alone, but by every word. No wonder man lives in nothing but death. Look at the fascination with death in our world today. Everything's about death. The afterlife and ghosts and spirits and can I talk to my ancestors and aliens and let's get away from the weird stuff. We have this fascination with death. Can I tell you why? Because we don't live the Word of God. I'm not come that you should have death, but that we would have life and life more abundantly. He is the Word of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I could preach for hours today on this. I won't. But I wonder who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm 100% sure I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Is there one that would say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know it. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out just like I didn't call them out. She said, "Preacher, I don't know that I've ever done what the Word of God said to get me to heaven, and I'd like to do it. Would you raise your hand?" All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, something in that sermon, something I needed today." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. Maybe we all ought to make a commitment to be reading the Word of God more regularly, living it, obeying it.